Hey, long-time movie maintenance subscribers, I'm Joel Dusha from Sans Pants Radio, and I'm here with a quick podcast announcement. Sean Carney, Handsome Tom, and Drob have reunited to start a new podcast called Scaredy Boys. The three hosts are huge horror movie cowards, and have joined forces to overcome their fear of every single scary movie ever made, to debate how they'd survive the events of each film, and hopefully find a backbone along the way. Episode 1 is about to start playing, and if you want more, head to iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast provider and search for Scaredy Boys. And I hope you enjoy the journey far more than Tom, Sean, and Damo did. Enjoy.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network. Hello, and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
I thought for this episode we should describe our relationship with horror movies, which for me is pretty much non-existent. I think I've watched 3 horror movies in my time, one of them by choice, and that was The Quiet Place, which is that a horror movie, do you think?
That's like recent.
Yeah.
Thriller-ish.
Yeah. I mean, there was enough good reviews that I had to watch it.
Are you talking in your entire life, three
horror
films?
That's like it.
That's it. So I've watched Quiet Place, I've watched It, and I've watched The Ring.
Oh, those!
And I got tricked into watching The Ring. My brother wanted to get with a very lovely lady, and he wanted some support when they went to the movies. And he said, "Oh, it's like fantasy. We love fantasy and supernatural." So I'm like,
"He's not fantasy, right, Damo.
Right, I'll go along for the ride." And then I was very angry.
Damo's angry, brother.
And scared.
Is this twin?
This is twin brother.
Yeah. He should be banned from twin.
He should be untwinned.
No hugs for a year.
No.
What? Can you
but
do
I
that,
need hugs because I was so scared.
Like, I don't think Damo's
hugging you to console you, but at the same time,
I gave
you're like,
the angriest hugs anyone has ever given.
Do you know what I love, though? His tactic would be like, oh, I'm going to impress this lady. My brother will be there for moral support. Yeah. He didn't get to do anything with that lady because he was too busy hugging you.
Yeah, I was all over him. Like, you've dragged me here. Yeah. You're giving me hugs, mate.
Yeah, she's sitting there trying to be scared and like hold on to him, but now you're already there, limping just on his chest.
Was he terrified as well?
He probably was, but I think he was, because he had the lady we impressed, he was sort of, oh, no, yeah, it wasn't too bad. Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
I was genuinely like, I need to look away. I'd like look down, but then of course your eyes creep back up.
Yeah.
I just didn't know where to look. And then I did study the curtains in the movie theater for quite a long time, going, how do I get through this next hour and a half?
I have grown up, it was a little bit of like, my mum was weird about what movies we watched. So just sort of stayed away from anything gruesome. But also, I was a coward as well. So I was like, no, good. Enforce the law, mum.
Yeah.
That's all good.
Oh, no, I can't watch it. That's a shame. I'll just watch Space Jam again.
If I had to watch anything remotely scary, and when I say horror, I probably mean more like a thriller.
Yeah.
That just got me a little bit on edge. I would have to like back it up with comedies.
Yeah.
Like I would need to chase it with something. But just in recent years, I've watched a couple more horror films because my girlfriend actually quite likes them.
Right.
So I've had to sort of be like,
your girlfriend.
It's an option because these are terrifying, these movies. But yeah, no, so I have seen a couple, but there's heaps that I haven't and don't want to watch.
I've avoided as strongly as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Tom?
Well, so I've always been of the belief in the same boat as I'm a big coward, don't like horror. But for some bizarre reason, for a big old coward who gets scared very easily, I have seen a weird number of horror films.
Yeah.
And I have, maybe it's because I've like watched a lot and I've developed like stupid coping strategies. For example, bottom right corner of the screen, very good place to look a lot.
Ooh. Interesting.
When I was at uni, I used to take notes when I'd watch a horror film. Pretend it's an assignment because then I can detach my, you can't. No, you can't. But no, I've watched a lot and I've read a lot. Like, I really like Stephen King as a writer. Like, it's weird. Yeah. I have a weird relationship with horror where it's kind of like, okay, so I have this thing where I'm terrified and I know I'm terrified, but I get myself in this place. I'm like, nah, get excited. Hmm. So, for example, you talked about it before. So I went to see the remake and I was like, yeah, cool, we're going to go to the movies together. But like, I was really having a great time. We had some drinks and some dinner and we got in. We sat down at the movie theater and the trailer started playing. And until the light, like the screen changed size and the opening titles for It started, I was like, Fuck. What have I done?
What am I doing here?
Why am I here? Yep. I kind of PTSD my way into a movie and then realize, oh, no, this is a terrible idea.
And then it's full of regret. Late. Yeah.
I always think I'll be able to handle it. I'll be like, no, I'm fine. I'm getting better. And then it starts, and the first remotely scary thing that starts to happen, I just go, "Fuck." No. Why?
Yeah.
It's why do we do it? It's worth noting, too, that the three of us are writers and terrified of horror, complete cowards, and yet I think all three of us enjoy writing horror.
Yeah, very much so.
And I don't know why. I haven't figured that out yet.
I remember, I think, I want to say it was Joe Hill, but I'm not entirely sure about that. But he said the people who get most scared are going to be the best horror writers because they can really describe the thing that's scaring them down to horrible detail because we know how awful it all is. Mm-hmm. So we can write it down and be like, oh, that's really scary.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just remembering my childhood now. I grew up on a farm that was big and scary and had weird noises at night and all sorts of things. So that's just like has put me off horror as well.
Did you have a mountain you called?
We live near Mount Cannibal.
Mount Cannibal,
which that's terrifying.
On the haunted highway.
The murder road. So many weird things have happened on that road. It's just terrifying. And also my dad likes to work on cars, so he had the car workshop up the hill from the house.
He
would always like do that thing where he'd leave the lights and shit on, come down for dinner, then go to sleep. And mum would be like, right, one of you's got to go up and do it.
Oh, no.
And we'd get a torch if the batteries were working.
Oh, Sean.
And have to go up there. And it was like it's a two-story shed. So there's an office where the lights are, but there's an above thing as well, like with creaky floorboards. I swear something was living up there. My whole childhood. You would turn the lights off and then sprint back down to the house and not even look over your shoulder until you got to the front door.
Because the rule is, if you turn around, it's there.
Yeah.
Once you see it, you see it. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was kind of fucking hell.
So you didn't need to watch horror movies because you were living a horror movie.
I lived watching Signs.
Yeah.
Which, it's not really a horror, really.
Oh, no, nah,
it is. It's sci-fi.
Because I want to take this up to both of you. Because both of you are like, oh, thrillers aren't horrors. Fuck, they are.
They are for us. But for the general horror fan, the hardened horror fan.
For the honest coward, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie.
Oh, try living on a farm after watching Signs and opening your window at night and just looking out to the long grass. And then also having a dickhead older brother who would like walk past your door and go, like make all the alien noises.
Great film, Signs.
Fantastic film.
Yeah.
So the idea behind this podcast is that every episode, the three of us will have watched a horror movie together and we'll share our very scaredy experience with all you lot.
Because if you're not going to piss yourself with your friends, why would you?
why even do it? And it's also so we could hold hands and cry a little bit together. And speaking of, like you mentioned how when you sort of sign yourself up to do it and then you're sitting there and you're like, what am I doing? That's how I felt when we sat down to watch our first horror movie.
Yep.
I was like, oh, this is a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm. Why have I done this?
We're scaredy boys. Like, the premise is ridiculous.
Yep.
People who hate a thing do that thing. Exclusively.
And we're those people. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be those people.
Man.
For this episode, we did watch our first episode. We decided to watch The Blair Witch Project. Thought we'd go with a classic. So for The Blair Witch Project, for any other scaredy peeps out there who haven't watched it, The Blair Witch Project was released in 1999 and is a found footage supernatural horror film by Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez. It tells a fictional story of three student filmmakers, Heather, Michael and Josh, who hike deep into the Black Hills in 1994 to film a documentary about a local urban legend known as the Blair Witch. The trio lose their map, their bearings and ultimately their minds as they try to desperately make it back to their car, all the while being haunted each night by someone or something unseen. The film was released in the early days of the internet, and the marketing campaign pushed the idea that the events of the film were horrifyingly real. On a micro budget of $60,000, the film brought in $250 million at the box office and launched an entire legacy of found footage horror films such as Paranormal Activity, Cloverfield, and The Last Exorcism that continued 20 years after its release.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That is, I can't do math, but that is at least double.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't do math.
You can't do math.
That's sometimes the appeal just quickly for filmmakers in making horror films because they can be so dirt cheap and people love it. Or in our case, no, don't love it.
Don't love
Terrified.
Yeah.
I'd heard of this film for years and avoided it, quite frankly, because who needs that in their life?
Right.
No, not us. I don't. Yeah. I don't.
Could you imagine watching this film when it was released before you knew about fan footage films?
Yeah. If I thought this was real,
probably would have killed myself. you know, yeah, just to be safe. Like,
it can't get what? You.
Can't get me right. If I'm dead.
I mean, that's one way to avoid the horror of it all. You're like, well, no, Blair Witch, I'm going to do it before you.
I mean, The Happening. I'm here for that. Just...
Yeah, yeah.
Were we scared when watching this film?
Yes. And, like, it's a slow build for me. Like, when they kicked over the fucking rocks like dickheads, that's when we all looked at each other and went, oh, it's too late to get out of here now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Fuck. And then it became, it's unsettling. Yeah. I'll call it more.
It's the sticks in the trees. That's the scene where I think it kicks
off. Oh, yeah.
It's more unsettling than it is outright scary until, of course, the end, which is just fucked.
Yeah. The thing that film does really great with terror, like horror too, is that there's a time limit.
Mm.
So during the day, everything's fine. But you know, when it gets dark, things are going to be fucked. Yep, so the darker it starts to get, as dusk begins to fall on another day and they haven't made it to the car, the rising sense of dread is pain. And you're like, oh, great. Fuck, it's nighttime. Oh, sick. I'm just going to go to bed in this tent. No, you're not. You're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. It's actually a brilliant plot device because you watch it and every morning they wake up and they're just getting slowly more desperate. And they're like, we have to find the car because I do not want to stay out here again.
Yep, we got no food. We're not sleeping.
Yeah. Mm. Just so well done. And for me watching it, I was just like, I don't want it to be nightfall for me to watch. I don't want to watch another scene at night.
Yeah, great point.
Like, I was genuinely like, so to answer my question, this movie did scare me. Like, obviously, it's a horror movie and I'm terrible at watching horror. Yeah. Cowards. But I was generally like, my hands were pretty much covering my face the entire time.
Yeah.
And there was the dual things of the supernatural stick things outside there, awfulness, as well as the fear of the genuine real fear of being lost in the woods and not knowing. Like, I thought that was brilliantly done because both made me uneasy and both made me terrified for the protagonist.
Yep. Yeah. We grew up in Australia. We're not unfamiliar with, you know, a bit of hiking and camping and that sort of thing.
I'm a city boy. Never saw a mountain in my life.
I can tell Damo and I have experienced our fair share of camping.
I've le-camped.
You've gone for a few treks over Cannibal Hill or whatever.
Cannibal. Poor boy, yeah. But
I thought when you were like, oh, yeah, I've got a scary mountain, and I remember seeing it, I was like, oh, yeah, Mount Death. That's not what it is, Tom.
No.
There are a lot of, like, I guess, high-concept horror films.
Mm.
But this one, like, you remove the supernatural aspect, and it just for me, it's enough that just to be lost in the woods is quite scary. And then when you factor in, they unzip the tent in the morning and there's a pile of sticks outside their door.
God, yeah.
It's just fucked.
One for each of them.
Oh.
But even the like, you add the lost thing, which is terrifying, and you multiply that.
I got chills right now.
You multiply that with the supernatural element of they are supernaturally lost. Like, the forest is causing them to be lost.
Yeah.
Is terrifying because it means that, yes, being lost is scary, but if you're good enough at being a hiker, you can get out. This forest is alive and wants you dead.
Yeah, your compass is useless. It's not going to do you any favors.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't completely sink in either until he's pointing out, we crossed that log. Like, that
same log. Before. And she starts crying.
And she's like, no, it's not. And then she gets to it and she just breaks down and goes, it's the same log.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck me. This is just fucked.
It's fucked. And the character's reactions actually were really good. The way Heather first kept denying it, because that's a rational, like, you would deny it. And then the others were getting angry, but they weren't angry. The anger was just there to mask their fear. I'm like, yep, that's what I would be doing. I'd be like, come on, you bastards, let's get out of here. You're wasting anywhere. Generally, because I want to scream and cry a little bit. And then added to the found footage, you know, it just made it very real. Like, for a movie that didn't really show anything that horrible other than some sticks on the ground.
You see nothing.
Nothing.
And that is the most amazing thing about this film is you see nothing. The only true bit of terror you get is you get a hint early on where they're interviewing townsfolk and one of them's telling an offhand story about a murder and how they used to make them face the walls before they killed them. And then at the end, you see no witch, you see no ghost, you just get a shot of one of the guys facing the wall and then the other person drops out of frame and you go, fuck.
Oh, I'm going to cry now.
I know what that is.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that's the scariest part of that film is that you never see anything, so you have no idea what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I got so much respect for the way they shot it, even like, you know, the initial ones where they hear the voices at night or whatever, or the sounds out in the bush. And
children laughing, Sean.
Children
laughing. The very ordinary sound of kids giggling in the woods.
But even then, they take the camera out and they're walking around and, like, the majority of horror films would have some sort of jump scare. where suddenly the camera and there's a face there or there's something and they just didn't do it and it makes it worse.
It does, because I was waiting for the jump scare. I had my hands over my face, but my eyes were peeking through. But then when it doesn't come, you don't have the release that follows the jump scare.
The jump scare is all about the release. There's no release in this film, really. No. The release is the daylight, I guess.
Yes, but even then, the daylight's filled, because the initial day you go, okay, cool, it's daylight again. But then it keeps going. You're like, it's going to be night. It's going to be night. It's going to be night. So you wound up by the time it goes, the sun sets again.
Yeah. And daylight comes with the next threat. Yep. There's the next little thing in front of the thing. Or then they find the teeth. Oh, my. For me, that was the scariest part, when they uncover the teeth.
Sticks with the hair and the teeth.
Oh, you're just like, oh, okay, no one's making it. No one's making it out of here. No, definitely not.
Fuck you, Josh, for rocking over those, not kicking over those stones, you big dumb fuck.
Fucking idiot. So, like, if he hadn't done it,
they'd be fine.
They'd be all right. They'd be alive.
It is rough, though, that if you go out in the woods, you're like, fuck, if I accidentally kick some stones over,
dead.
That's me done.
Yep.
That's me being tortured.
They actively pursue out a cemetery, which is what they do.
They do. And like, that's the, again, where you've got these characters that are arguably ignorant in that they don't believe their own, the thing they're pursuing. And we know that it's all going to go wrong. And so with every step they take closer and closer to that cemetery, nothing has even happened yet, and I'm already on the edge of my seat.
It didn't hit me until later in the film how good that early moment is. There's like this really lingering camera shot of the car as they walk away.
Mm.
And in my mind, I'm like, all right, editor, let's speed this up. But no, it's the last time you'll ever see that car.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's last time they see the car. There are so many little, just very clever, very simple, but very effective little drops and hints and things. It's
good because it gets covered by the found footage thing. So you're like, oh, it's just some rando thing they managed to film. But then, it's actually very good filmmaking.
Mm. I will say this. So scariest thing is a bit in the basement. No, scariest scene is really early on when they hear the noises in the forest for the second time, and she goes out to try and film it.
Yeah.
No, it's when it's the third night where the tent gets attacked by something.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
That's scary. What's scarier is when they run out and the camera's pointing at the ground and Heather sees something. We don't see it, but she just screams, "What the fuck is that?"
Yeah.
Oh, it's and just running. Me. So, because you're filming, because she doesn't have the camera, Mike's got the camera behind her. He's filming her. Mm. She looks off to the side and says, "What the fuck is that?" And he just keeps running. So, we don't see it.
Yeah.
We don't see what it is. Yeah.
And you want to see
the terror in her fucking voice. Oh,
I think I'd blacked out by then.
Yeah.
I'm so scared right now just reliving this movie.
I mean, it's not helping. We're recording this at nighttime.
Guys, we need a new rule. We're only recording at 2 p.m. on sunny days.
Sweet, sunny, sunshiny days.
Everyone must have a puppy in their lap.
I like that rule. So I did also want to talk about the world of the film and sort of surviving the horror that inevitably comes. So what do we think of how the characters acted in this film?
Fucking idiots.
Fucking idiots. Yeah.
Don't kick shit over.
Yeah.
First point is, don't ever go out there.
Yeah, I mean, like... Yeah.
Point three, stay at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's telling you, you're filming people telling you how terrible it is, and all that, like, even if you ignore the witch thing, there was still something about a guy in his house abducting people.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, well, that's a real thing, even if you take away the supernatural element, and they're going to go off on their own, and, oh my God.
Take a weapon.
Take several weapons, yeah.
Great Don't
call.
Go out there.
Great call.
Or, like, if you go out there, respect the thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're making a doco about a ghost or a monster, and you assume it's real, respect it.
Yeah.
Don't be like, huh, no such thing. It's like, yeah, you believe.
I would continually walk around, and after every take, every shot I took, be like, hey, Blair Witch, love you. You're the best.
You're awesome, yeah.
Respect to the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, like, is it Heather who's, like, at one point, like, moving the sticks to try to get the best shot or something like
Probably.
That?
Yep.
And I was pulling my hair out.
That's after they've knocked the rocks over, too, when they find the sticks and the little men in the tree.
Yeah. Remind me, is the knocking of the rocks over deliberate or an accident?
Accident.
He just trips.
He trips. Yeah. But they're walking around a cemetery. It's an accident. However, I will say this. They're idiots because Mikey throws the map away.
Oh, yeah.
The map's not going to help them because the forest is trying to kill them, but they would have a better chance if they had the map.
Oh, yeah. So much better. Like, because Heather was annoying me because she kept demanding that she knew what she was doing. She knew where she was going. She kept filming. Everyone they told her, stop filming. Like, this is getting serious now. But then when Mikey was revealed to have kicked the map away, I wanted to throttle him. I wanted to get my hands around his neck.
Yeah, I thought that might have been a moment where Josh beat... Oh, no, sorry. Which one? Josh was the one
who dies. Well, they all die, but Josh is the one who goes missing first.
I thought Josh would have attacked him at that point.
Right.
And like, punched the shit out of him.
Because you're like, you have literally killed us.
Yeah.
Because you got one moment of frustration with the map that was our only saving grace, even if it wasn't great.
Do you think Heather could read the
map? Yeah, I think she could.
I think she could, but she didn't want to admit that the power or whatever of the place was fucking it up.
Well, they did well even with getting to the cemetery. She was still a bit useless at it. She was good enough to get them there, but she made a few wrong turns along the way.
Yeah. Which is more believable than they get lost, but the actual problem was that the forest was moving around her.
Exactly.
Oh, when you factor in the forest moving, because I watch it and I go, just follow the river.
Yeah.
Or,
They did. And they ended up back at the log.
Oh.
At that point, just lie down outside, let it take you.
Yeah.
Yeah, what point do you just give up?
Early.
We're shit house.
We are.
My next question was going to be, what is the best way to survive in this world? So are you saying the best way is just to lie down?
Okay, so are you saying that we don't have the capacity to avoid angering
the witch? You've kind of got maybe a bit, you've still... Let's say you've kicked the rocks over because...
Right. Okay, so we're with them. Someone's kicked the rocks over.
Rocks have been kicked over and now we're in.
But you're not... You don't keep filming. You don't sort of... actually work... Like, what is the working together? Let's actually
ditch all
this.
Of the cameras and gear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's expensive shit, Tom. Sorry, I got to put my film school brain on here and be like...
No, we're trying to survive.
No, rental fees, though.
Mate.
What's the point of surviving if you're going to get kicked out of school?
Hey, you're alive.
Yeah, but at this... Hang on. At the point, though...
Bear Grylls, man. He does take a camera everywhere, actually.
At what point do you realise, oh, it's life or death, we better... Like, when do you drop the cameras?
Oh, well, towards the end.
Oh, yeah. Towards the end, all bets are off.
Right.
Those cameras, I'd use them as a weapon.
Yeah.
I don't know. What
right.
I'd offer them to the Blair Witch and be like, this is worth $8,000. Yeah. It'd be cool now. Do whatever it takes. The initial stages, stop filming.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't fucking matter anymore.
I'm going to...
If we get attacked at night, basically after the first night of weird shit, I go and find the biggest stick and start sharpening that motherfucker up.
So do you set a trap?
Oh, setting a trap. That's keen. You're already angered.
Setting a trap in a forest that is literally warping around you? No fucking way.
But you don't know it's warping around you.
But I wouldn't set a trap because you put a trap out and the forest is like, gonna move that trap over where you take a piss and now your dick's cut off.
Would you set a trap, Damo?
I think I would, to be honest. I think because I don't know if I'd fight because, as mentioned, coward. But I think I would try to at least have some defense.
No, but that's what my stick is. I'm not actively seeking out the fight. I'm just like, if the fight comes to me, I'm fucking ready with a big ass sharp stick.
Well, even like, do you set up the tent and then like sneak away into a bush and watch the tent all night?
I'm too scared to do that.
Don't do that.
I'd be like, boys, let's all
it knows
cuddle
where
in
you
the
are.
Tent.
Okay.
Yeah,
it the knows. Tent is not. You're not fooling it with a tent pop up.
Yeah, you're not fooling it. It's like, oh, he's in the tent. Oh, the dickhead's climbing into that bush. Just eat him in the bush.
No, I wouldn't. Okay. I mean, I might suggest that someone takes watch, but I would like rig the short straw corruption.
That's the thing.
So I don't have to do it.
That's the thing is that no one takes watch in that film.
No,
after the shit goes weird, I would be rotating watch immediately once.
You reckon?
Yeah. But inside, like someone just stays awake inside. Well, I was too asleep and then you rotate it. No one sits outside. To pack up and go as soon as something weird happens.
Hmm.
Yeah, they didn't seem to have like a contingency plan, did they?
No.
Well, no, they didn't because they died.
Yeah. Yeah. Even what about like just climbing the tallest tree you can find?
And forest alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, no, stick people. Absolutely not.
No, but at that point, we don't think the forest is alive. We just think there's someone out here and they're messing with
us. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So my thing is get to the high ground immediately, and if you can't get to like a high hill or whatever, climb a tree. Again, follow the river, but we know that wouldn't work in the long run. Weapons are your best bet.
Counterpoint.
Got to find food too. They didn't seem to. Although they still had food, didn't they?
They just slowly starved a little bit.
Slowly starved a bit. Counterpoint.
Yeah.
Instead of weapon being tough and fighting, I wait until we definitely confirm that it is a supernatural entity, that it isn't just people in the woods trying to scare us. Up until that point, that's fine. And then once I know that there is a Blair Witch and she is angered with us and is going to destroy us, I offer myself to her as a willing supplicant to do her bidding.
Okay.
Betray us?
Absolutely.
Oh, we're betrayed. We're teeth.
You're both dead.
We're teeth in a bundle.
Your teeth in a bundle. I go to her and go, look.
My hair's in there.
I will serve you. I'll go into that town.
You know what she'll say to you, though? She'll be like, good, Thomas, stand in the corner.
I'll be like, well, no, I'm cool. You're dead. I'm in the corner.
You know what? I figured out what I would do.
Stand in a corner immediately. Find a corner, stand in it.
However long it takes for us to lose hope, once hope is lost and we're like, we can't get out of here, I set the forest on fire.
Light some fires.
I burn the biggest tree there is. Yeah. I just set fires and then get to safe ground and wait for someone to...
Yeah,
stand in the river. Helicopter's going to fly over.
You Batman and Joker. Yeah. You burn the forest down.
Burn it.
She can't move the forest around if there's no forest.
Oh, we take the fight to her, Damon. Oh, we're not cowards anymore.
Counterpoint, you kill me because I've aligned myself.
Yeah, but you've dogged us, so we're fine with that.
Until I come running out of like on fire and I've gone mad and I try to kill you both.
Yeah, okay.
Like Renfield Dracula.
That's when we get Carney's stick ready into action.
It's not to kill the witch, it's to kill me when I trade both of you.
No, I think the fire's a great idea.
Yeah.
The only concern that I don't know if you've considered, Sean.
Probably not.
You've set the fire.
Yeah.
It's burning around.
Yeah.
Which is like, what the fuck are you doing setting fires in my house? And she comes to you.
But if she comes to me, then I've got the stick. And then I'm... Because either way...
Do you think
a
stick that is sharp is going to be strong enough to beat a malevolent magical entity possibly thousands of years old?
Who won't show herself.
To be honest, and I wouldn't be thinking rationally at this point, especially if I'm burning things down.
That's right.
But the best thing I could do is stand still.
Ooh.
Because she's not showing herself. She's getting in my head, making me hear voices, making me run in directions that she wants.
Mm.
I would fucking plant my feet. I would be concrete.
Yeah. And then you'll die real quick when she just appears.
I feel like Tom's already turned towards the witch because he's really trying to help make us lose hope in this scenario.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if she would appear, though.
Where there's a witch, there's a way, right?
Okay, well, my next question is, we've brainstormed some really great ideas about how to fight her.
Yeah.
What would we personally have actually done given us in this scenario? How quickly would we have died?
I reckon not as quickly as we would first think.
Yeah. I think I think we would last as long as Heather and Mikey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would stubbornly insist that, no, we just got to keep going this way. It would take the log incident for me to break down and be like, fuck.
Mm.
And then, I don't know, mate.
And then just, how long would it take for Tom to just give us up? Just be like, well...
Mr. Le Camping.
We had some good time, boys.
How long is a piece of string tied to a stick person?
Okay.
That's the real question.
Yeah.
No, I'd go a bit. I'd go, again, I need to confirm we were dealing with a spirit monster woman.
Yeah. Right.
Because if it was just a man
with
an axe.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
He can get killed by a stick.
Yeah. And it is, how long can you hold on to hope? I think that's the real challenge of this film.
Yeah, we would last longer than Mikey.
None
of us had kicked the map in the water.
I would be holding on to the map for dear life. That's my one beacon of hope.
Yeah, none of us are dumb enough to throw a map away.
No.
Absolutely not. And, I mean, register that you're out in the woods with, like, authorities and be like, if we're not back in 2 days.
Yeah.
Step one.
Yeah.
Step two, Google Maps. Point.
Damon, you got a wife. You're not getting lost for longer than 2 days.
Nah, she would come find me.
Mm.
And she'd be like, hey, I didn't kick your rocks over. I'll take your witch.
Yeah.
Bless her.
To be honest,
we'd be fine.
We would be fine because we all know sitting here that all of our respective partners would come looking for us in a couple of days, and they would be so much more competent.
I can just imagine the three of them behind the wheel of a car, just driving straight through the forest. Not even like, don't leave your car on the
Fuck
outside.
Those trees, smashing things. They run over the witch, and they're like, "What were you two doing, Tom? Were you going to sacrifice yourself to the witch?"
Yes,
guys, we'd be fine.
I think we'd do.
I think we'd actually be all right.
I think we would.
I think being a coward in this scenario is your best bet.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Just stay still. Wait for help to come.
Yeah. Guys, we've solved the Blair Witch.
Yay, scary boy.
We completed the Blair Witch Project.
Oh!
All right. Well, that's good.
On that, that's all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners have any comments about this episode or want to say hi, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
And I'm at Awkward Treed.
And join us for our next episode, where we'll be watching John Carpenter's The Thing.
Spooky music. Death. Witch.
Snow.
Stay scared, everyone.